This is St. Louis Public Radio. For many black school-age youth, mental health needs can fly under the radar. They can lead some parents, teachers, and other adults to perceive it as kids acting out. St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson spoke with Dr. Marva Robinson, a licensed clinical psychologist in St. Louis, about what happens when mental health resources aren't available in predominantly black schools.
It creates a permanent domino effect, so to speak. So you have children that are in need. They don't have access to resources or trained professionals to recognize symptoms. So they go untreated. They usually end up in punitive systems, suspensions, detentions, kicked out of school, expelled, or placed in alternative schools. And so that leads to a very negative trajectory from that point forward. So higher dropout rates, lower paying jobs, more likely end up in a criminal system, and it just goes on from there.
Why that trickle down effect, though? Like, why is that the trajectory for black youth versus their peers?
Honestly, the research has shown that when you're talking about African-American children, they are more easily dehumanized. So they are not seen as innocent children or naive individuals. They're seen as malicious, malingering people. You know, oftentimes they're estimated to be 3 years older than what their chronological age really is. So the trickle-down effect starts from that beginning, not seeing the childhood or the childlike features in them. So dropping a pencil is seen as, you know, doing it on purpose and being malicious, you know, or a child having tantrums is not being seen as maybe depressed, but just acting out for no reason or attention-seeking. And so it's that initial stage where they're told that their symptoms aren't clinical symptoms, but bad behaviors that starts the process.
And so as a result of that, because, I mean, you'll have class sizes where there are tons of students in one class per one teacher. And you mentioned that guidance counselors juggle more than one hat.
Mm-hmm.
What is the appropriate amount of counselors that need to be in schools?
I think anytime you have a school where you have counselors that are able to focus on just counseling and they are able to see a, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 students a day that they're addressing, then you're starting to get at the heart of the issue. But part of the problem, again, is being able to catch who those students are. You gave a perfect example of a teacher having, you know, a ton of students in the classroom. They're focused on things like children having school supplies, teaching the lesson, you know, breaking up any disputes and conflicts. And now we want to add to their plate acknowledging mental health issues. So we definitely overstress and overwhelm our teachers. I think the best approach would be to have individuals that are trained and are culturally competent to recognize mental health issues in the black community in the classrooms to do some observations, or if there was some standardized initial testing that was offered for all students so that these things can be caught and tracked at earlier stages versus relying on a teacher who has 19 or 20 other students to be able to pick up on something that's outside of their scope of practice.
If this was caught earlier, would there be as many black youth in the prison system now if they would have had some of these things caught beforehand?
Absolutely not. If we are able to catch this at a much younger level, elementary school, we could prevent so many negative consequences in our community. We could lower the crime rate. We would definitely lower the prison rates. We would dismantle the pipeline to prison theory. Because if we are able to treat children as individuals who have a mental illness and give them the treatment that they need, then we wouldn't label them as criminals where they end up in a criminal system.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.